Welcome to this episode of Building Connections, and with me today is Kate Lister, president of a company called Global Workplace Analytics. Very welcome to this session, Kate. Thank you for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yeah. Well, can you very shortly explain what Global Workplace Analytics is about?
We've been pushing the flexible workplace rock uphill for about two decades. And in the past 3 years, it's been chasing us down the other side. We help companies create flexible workplace strategies.
Yeah. Yeah. I think what I always experienced is very special to your company is basically your data-driven approach to the topic, with a lot of research behind it and analysis of data, right?
Yep, absolutely. We collected over 6,000 documents over the last decade or so. Anything we could put our eyeballs on that has to do with workplace research.
Yeah. So, and I think that's going to be part of our conversation, at least today, in terms of what data is telling us of how it used to be, how it's today, perhaps even how it's going to be tomorrow. And basically starting on that topic. And first question to you, because you're so much embedded in analysis of data. What I seem to have learned in the past is that there's sometimes this misinterpretation of data. Data seems to tell you something, but it effectively is producing another type of information if you really look closely to it. And so you must have come across these types of situations where you saw data being interpreted in a way that you basically knew was actually not so appropriate, so to say. So is there any example that you could share with us to basically learn what kind of misinterpretation would be possible when you don't look at data with the required knowledge behind it, actually?
Yeah, I guess the one thing, one of my pet peeves is where people create causal relationships where there is none. So 80% of people who work from home admit to getting dressed only from the waist up. Therefore, if you want to be successful working from home, only dress from the waist up, you know?
Yeah.
Querying the just the what rather than the why, because, all right, fine, we know that nobody uses conference room A. It doesn't tell us anything. Yeah. One of the biggest problems is in poorly designed surveys that are either biased in the questions or don't give you enough information. So on a scale of 1 to 5, how much flexibility do you have in where and when you work? That's two questions. How do I answer that? You know, and you say that all the time. And then in the interpretation of the data, my real pet peeve is using a small sample size and suggesting that that is representative of any larger group. You know, people use these Menti polls during webinars like this. So we've got, you know, I don't know, probably 1,000 people on this, right? But okay. So you've got 20 people and you poll them, and it turns out that the, you know, average satisfaction is 7.5.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't mean anything, particularly if you don't look at the skew. You know, we may have two people that said 10 and 7 people that said, you know, 0 or 1. And the average is even, on average, if I put one hand in a bucket of cold water and one hand in a bucket of hot water, I should be comfortable, right?
Right.
No, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah. It's very interesting because what you see happening actually, as we move into a more IoT-driven, let's say, business around workplace, you know, so data, gathering data. You see companies gathering data on their workplace occupancy and satisfaction rates and stuff like that. In the frame of this question, what would be a easy pitfall in type of analysis that you would easily go into if you would look at this data as an FM? What to watch out for?
Yeah, I mean, the one that I mentioned, we've got 5 conference rooms and one of them isn't being used, so there must be something wrong with that conference room. Well, maybe not. It might be that the materials are too reflective and the sun comes in the window in the afternoon, or the office outside is Joe, who loves to tell his fishing stories, or any number of things. But you've got to dig deeper, and I guess the fundamental is you've got to do quantitative as well as qualitative. Just looking at the numbers isn't going to tell you anything. Badge data, it's interesting, but it's you need to have that qualitative, the survey data, talking to people, focus groups, to make sure that you're interpreting the results successfully.
Yeah. So basically, what you say is when companies would invest in IoT type of data gathering, it's the starting point, and certainly not the end point of an analysis of how to basically set up a workplace in order to get it, let's say, serve its purpose better or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's so much data coming in, and so much of it goes wasted because we don't know what to do with it. We don't know how to understand it. And we've really got to get better at that because, we've got light bulbs that can hear, we've got wallpaper that can hear, we've got, all these technologies coming on that could create some very rich data, could also create some real privacy issues. There's nobody in the U.S. that's regulating that.
Yeah.
It's a wild, wild west.
yeah, it is. It is. So basically when we talk about this, is there in your mind, is there in the current FM scenery, so to say, the current profession, is there a need for different role for analysis of this type of data, or is it something of a package of an FM manager to acquire? What's your view on this?
I think the FM has to be informed about just the kinds of things that you're asking here. They don't need to be a data analyst, but you need to have a data analyst. The dashboards are becoming so easy to use that you can slice and dice it too much, right? It's like potato chip. Oh, let's look at it this way, let's look at it that way. But to have in mind the biases, where did the data come from? Is it representative? Does it have, can we apply what we learned in France to the Netherlands? The data about hybrid work is very different in the US, in Texas or New York or California. And so you have to be sure that you're polling the right audience and not applying the averages to everybody.
Right. So moving that, because you just mentioned that hybrid work, and it's basically, a focus point of your work of your company today. I think we all agree that this transformation to hybrid has been occurring, accelerated by COVID and the kind of thing. But actually, when you look at the situation today in terms of hybrid working practices on a global scale, I do realize that this will be very different probably from region to region in the world. What's your take on the current state of affairs around hybrid working for average companies in the world? And by region, perhaps different. So if you want to illuminate on that, feel free to do so. What's your take on it? Where are we today?
Yeah, it's interesting that the numbers actually have not changed much over 20 years. Before the pandemic, 80% of people said they wanted to work remotely at least some of the time. Among the companies that did it, the average was half time. Where we are now is that 80 to 90% of people say they want to work remotely at least some of the time. Managers want them in the office 3 days a week. Employees want to be at home 3 days a week. That works out to an average of 2.5 days a week.
Yes.
I think where it's going to shake out is that we've got about 20 to 30% of people who want to be fully remote. About 10 to 20% of people that want to be fully in the office, and that's higher in some countries. And that balance of 50 to 60% are in the middle. They want hybrid. They recognize the need to have some connection with the office. So across the globe, it's actually more similar than it is dissimilar.
Yeah.
You know, there are some, yes, absolutely. There are some countries where there's sort of more of a dependence on going out for a drink after work, you know, the UK. And in some countries, Ireland, for example, they're heavily interested in this because it would reduce the outbound migration of talent. So people have to leave their rural villages to go to the big city. And that's true in a lot of sort of isolated areas. But, you know, the numbers, I guess the lowest I've seen by country is somewhere is about 50% of people want to work remotely.
Okay.
And it's actually gone during the pandemic.
Yeah. Okay, that's surprising, you know. So did you recognize any relationship in this desire to work from home or at the office, which would be age related?
Yes, and interestingly, the youngest generation had the most difficulty in working from home. So you'd think, well, wait a minute, they're tech savvy. They'd get this. But you know, you think about it, they've just gotten out of college. They've probably moved to a new city. They have no friends. Work is their, where they get their relationships. Many people marry somebody. They find their spouse at work. They miss the mentorship, even the subtle mentorship that goes on hearing other conversations. You know, they're very new to this. Some people who started during the pandemic, college students or college grads, I mean, they don't even know how to act. I mean, what do we wear? Just the things that we take for granted. And then at the other extreme, boomers want to be more in the office. Also.
Nice. Also, yeah.
And I figure that's because their spouses don't want them at home. They're retired, and there's like, get out of my hair.
I never thought of that.
It's what they're used to. Actually, airline pilots have a big problem with this when they retire. Their wife's used to having them at home. It's like, get out of my hair.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, I didn't count on that actually, you know, because what I can imagine that when you're a young professional, one of the things you need is to create your own social network around work in order to connect up to your colleagues and stuff, and basically to enable you to have a career. And much of it is as much as personal connections as to knowledge of the business in itself, of course. So I can relate to that.
They also have those smaller homes. So, you know, they're sharing an apartment. They just don't have the place for it. It's one of the other reasons.
Yeah, when I was walking around, for instance, in Hong Kong, and I looked at these homes that on average that you'll find in the center of the city, it's very small per home. It's not many square feet or square meters that people have. So I can imagine. In these type of cities, the working from home has a completely different type of a ring to it than it's when you were in a rural area in Sweden or Norway, for instance.
Yeah, absolutely. But in China, for example, they've got the same problem that Ireland does. People have to leave their villages and, you know, they're very family oriented to go into the city to work. And this gives them other opportunities to work from home.
Yeah. So, but in all, you state actually that this hybrid working, so spending time from out of the office, is going to be a structural element to it. At the same time, you mentioned that managers actually like people to be in the office itself. Is it your impression that management is basically accommodating to the new kind of situation that you just can't manage by being present, but you have to basically manage the job being done by its outcome?
Yeah, that's been the biggest problem since Jack Nellis invented the term telework in 1973.
Yeah.
It was going to transform the way we work. He's still consulting, by the way. I think he's...
Oh, yeah?
Yes. and it's just that managers don't trust their employees. And we're still hearing that now. The top things that pushback we're getting is managers, leadership that say it's going to reduce our cultural connection with one another. It's going to reduce productivity. It's going to impede innovation, and it's going to reduce engagement.
Yes.
The research shows just the opposite on every one of those points. I mean, there's plenty of things to worry about with hybrid, but those aren't the things.
Okay.
And you know, it's not just research during the pandemic, it's before the pandemic. I mean, there's a meta study of productivity before the pandemic that took 20 other studies and said, no, it's real. You know, it increases because, for one thing, people give back 40% of the time they would have otherwise spent commuting. That's been true for the last 15 years also.
Yeah.
Cultural connection. Gartner came out with a study that said the cultural decline happened before the pandemic. And we were sort of using the office as a proxy for culture. Culture is about people. It's not about, you know, the office.
Right.
And engagement. Gallup has shown for years that the highest engagement is among people that have choice. And 4 days a week was where it peaked. 4 days a week working from home. 5 days a week was the same as being in the office full time. And that has up. What was the other one? Innovation. Innovation is a two-part process. Creativity is one part, and innovation is the other. And creativity happens when you're alone, when you're walking the dog, when you're taking a shower, when you're driving the car. And then the ideas are best vetted when the people are together. Sometimes, as long as there's trust in your innovation team, you can do it from anywhere. And there's research to prove that as well. During the pandemic, global patents went up.
Right. So, but at the same time, and perhaps a little like a personal observation or impression, I should say, probably, is what I seem to notice, because I'm working myself a lot in innovation, of course, and I seem to notice that you first need to basically meet people in person, build some bond of trust, and then there seems to be less problems in just interacting in digital ways and so on, because you basically bonded to the person itself, you know, herself.
So exactly, that's what the research shows too.
Yeah. So, I'm happy being in the class of the research anyway. But that's probably then part of the value or the purpose of workplace, to at least allow these teams and the individuals to basically create that trust in order to basically then go out and be able to work together in a more distant way, right?
Yeah, but I mean, some of the all virtual companies that have 1,500 people that are hired by chat, never interviewed face to face, not even, you know, in this kind of environment, they're very innovative. What they have found and what others have found is it just doesn't take that much time together to create those trust bonds. And so, you know, having an annual retreat or a semi-annual retreat or having your team get together offsite, specifically around social, and not around work, is what creates those trust bonds.
Right. Okay. So, because you just named a number of interesting factors for business management to basically watch and watch the contribution of workplace to be around. We talked about productivity. We talked about innovation. When you now look at your, let's say, the full scope of your research, what elements of hybrid working are really important for business management to look at when they basically would move into a deliberate hybrid workplace strategy? What to watch for?
Yeah, the biggest one is managers managing by results. So a lot of managers were never trained to be managers. They were just promoted from some doer position and never given any training. We did a survey late last year, and 70% of people said they didn't receive any training for doing, you know, working remotely. 70% of people. I mean, it's not hard, but it is different. And if we're going to optimize it, if we're going to get the best out of it, we have to change the practices and processes. Right now, I feel like we're in this position where the, you know, we have a cell phone, but we only use it at home. Or we have a smartphone, and we only use it to make phone calls. We haven't changed the fundamentals behind it. And that's because it, you know, it happened overnight, and we were going to go back, and we were going to go back, and we were going to go back. So most companies didn't really take the time to create the structure for this. And anything a company does to make remote work more successful is going to help them in their work also. So yeah, the remote work didn't create management problems, it revealed them.
Yeah.
It didn't create problems, it revealed them. It revealed that we weren't managing by results, that we weren't creating cultural bonds, that we hadn't gone far enough in the digitization, that we weren't supporting people's need for work-life balance, you know, just all those things. And so what we have to do now is go back and say, okay, what in this new way of working do we need to do differently?
Yeah. Okay. So when you look at the whole, how typical companies basically approach the setup of hybrid working and collaborative working alongside to that, looking at the workplace performance, so to say, in the broader sense, what do you think is often neglected in terms of analysis of data gathering or kind of thing for in companies that they actually should do, but they typically don't do today? Are there any voids that you basically see often happening in companies trying to analyze it, but they just don't look at that area or something?
Yeah, there's a big time, and I'm sure you've seen it in your business too. Organizations often will do the pre-change survey, the pre-change analysis, and then they don't do the post. Either, you know, the team is dispersed, or I don't know, maybe they don't want to know the answer, but they don't do the post-change analysis. We also have done a really lousy job of connecting place to business outcomes. How does this brand new office, these, you know, all these things that we've put in, does it actually move the needle? The big thing now is attraction and retention of talent.
Yeah.
What do we need in our workplace that's going to move the needle on that? And how do we measure it? I'm really big on measuring results and you know, measuring what matters. So for example, if we're measuring, if we want to increase attraction and retention, we should be measuring ratio of acceptances to offers, voluntary turnover, number of applicants received, a number of diverse applicants received. You know, when a company asks me what we should be measuring, it has to be about what is it you're trying to achieve. If we're trying to achieve sustainability, that's going to be one set of measures. If we're trying to increase productivity, innovation, I mean, the measures have to match that, and they need to be all combined to business outcome if real estate wants to be relevant to the C-suite.
Right. So to your point, I've sometimes had some thoughts like, if you as a company would denominate the five most successful projects in the year, and then go into research, where did it take place? Where were the people when this project was being executed? Is there something you can learn? Is it in a certain area? Is it in a certain, was there any way a role of the workplace setting or whatever? Is there something you could say about it? Might shed a completely different light, of course, on what you could call successful or not successful workplace settings, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. How do you do that?
Yeah, we never do it. You know, five most successful projects and where did they actually take place?
No, I agree. And, no. You know, what are the fundamentals behind that?
And then we move along.
We've ignored for years that we know people don't care about ping pong tables. They want a sense of purpose. They don't want sliding boards. They want to be trusted. They want to know that they have a career opportunity with this organization. They want values that match their own. You know, those are the stuff I always think of Maslow's hierarchy. That's the stuff at the top. The bottom, we have to get, you know, we just have to get right, but we don't. What are the biggest complaints in workplace? Heating and cooling, noise,
yeah.
bathrooms,
yeah.
coffee, lighting, okay?
Yeah.
That's pretty basic, and that's the basic needs at Maslow, you know, Maslow's hierarchy. We've right. got to get those right, and then stop spending. You know, then say use that money to do the things you need to do to create those higher level to satisfy those higher level needs.
Okay, so we're coming so close to a close, I would say, for the conversation. A great conversation. Thank you for that. But if you look ahead to developments on workplace and hybrid working, everything that you basically do your research about, what kind of advice would you leave to the audience listening to this conversation to do? And when they are basically looking at the next stage of their services in their companies, what to watch out for?
Yeah.
To concentrate on.
First thing, trust science over your gut. You know, there's all this leadership that's saying losing culture, losing productivity. Okay, prove it. You maybe you are, but you've got to measure it or you're not going to know, and you've got to have a control group. And you know, that's the second thing, measuring what matters, and keep learning. And keep being willing to change. One of the things I find is that large companies in particular aren't willing to adopt new technologies, particularly if they come from small companies. But it's the small companies that are innovating and that are agile. And so we've got to kind of change our view of that.
Oh, cool. Thank you very much. So I can imagine that people would like to contact you on perhaps some support and on their endeavors around workplace. I think we will be publishing your company with this broadcast, of course. Is there any way they can get in contact with you personally as well?
Thank you for asking. Yeah, please, LinkedIn. I'm very active on LinkedIn. And Global Workplace Analytics. We've got a lot of free white papers and best practices. And I'm Kate at globalworkplaceanalytics.com.
Okay, Kate, thank you very much for a very interesting conversation today. Thank you for your insights.
Yeah, great to talk to you.
Okay, and with that, I thank the audience for listening in, and I'm hoping to see you next time again for another episode. Thank you for today. Bye-bye.